Amen. We've studied this 40-day book, and we're studying about the Holy Spirit. I want to come to you for a minute from one of my favorite passages, John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Everybody ought to know that chapter. And it's one of those chapters you can read every day and just stay on it. Just stay on it. Stay on it and stay in it. John chapter 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Jesus says, he's what, everybody? He is, Jesus says, I am what? The true vine. So several things come out of that passage. First of all, Jesus is making it very clear that there are false vines. Okay? So he's making it clear that there's only one true vine. You're looking at him. He says, I am the true vine. Okay? So don't get confused by other so-called vines. They will always fail you. All right? The job is a false vine. Money is a false vine. You can't abide in that. Can I get a witness, somebody? Human relationships, false vines. You can't always depend on that. So Jesus says, I am the, not a, but they, the true vine. All right? My Father is the husbandman. So what is the work of the husbandman? The gardener. All right? The one who maximizes the capacity of the vine. All right? Jesus says, I am that steady vine. I'm the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. The work of the husbandman is to cultivate. All right? To work on that vine, to prune that vine, to clean that vine, so that you're maximizing the vine's capacity to come on, somebody. Because ultimately, the vine has to produce. The vine has to reproduce. The vine is not there for its good looks. Come on now. A vine isn't there for people to go, oh, this vine is so pretty. No. Vine is no good if it's not producing. Okay? Now, this all ties back to the power of the Holy Spirit that we've been studying about, ladies and gentlemen, because you cannot have the operation of the Holy Spirit in your life without abiding in Christ. It's all about abiding in Christ. All right? Now, the text says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, what does he do? He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he what? Purgeth it, that it may what, everybody? Bring forth much fruit. Now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Now, you know, when scholars look at this, it's a very interesting take on the text. Because he says, first of all, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And then he says, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. All right? So what does that mean? What does that mean? Scholars suggest that first line, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. It's suggesting that he's not cutting it off as he would in purging. That there's a difference between the idea of taking away and the idea of purging. When the text says he taketh away, it actually is saying he lifts it up out of the dirt. Because low-hanging vines don't bear fruit. You with me? You with me, everybody? So, low-hanging vines are being polluted by the dirt around it. So, in the original language, the idea is, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, the first thing Jesus does is that he lifts it up out of the dirt. So the idea here of taking it away is actually the idea of lifting it up away from the dirt, washing it off, cleaning it so when the water falls, the mud doesn't splash on it and eliminate the seeds that produce fruit. Y'all not with me yet. Am I getting too deep for you too fast? Are you with me, everybody? So the next thing he says, though, is this. Every branch that beareth fruit, what does he do with the branch that's bearing fruit? He purges it. Now, so the branch that's bearing fruit now, he comes along and he sees the parts of that branch that are withered. That's a good word. Or drying up. Are you with me, everybody? And what does he do with that? He cuts off the stuff that's withering. He cuts. Why? Why? So the nutrients aren't being wasted? Why? Because it's dead. And what happens with dead stuff? It has the capacity to do what with the live stuff? Stifle it, rob it of its nutrients. Come on, somebody. Kill it. See, how many times you ever see a branch that's dead nobody cuts it off, but what happens? The deadness of the branch just keeps going and spreading. Am I right about it? All right? So what God does is that God is trying to get you to be fruitful. So the first thing he does is that he lifts you up and cleans you off the dirt. Oh, somebody ought to say amen. I'm so glad the first order of business is God lifts us up out of the dirt and washes us off. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And then he starts working on clipping stuff off of you. Character defects. Come on now. He starts pruning. Start cutting stuff off. Because he's trying to maximize who you are in Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. See, so he says, every branch that bears fruit, if you got a little something going on, God says, you know what? I want more. Look at somebody, tell him God wants more. God wants more. He wants it to bring forth more fruit. He wants your life to be more fruitful. Here's a challenge that we have in the church. So many people in the church, we have flatlined, we have plateaued, and our lives are just this mundane, just chugging along. Anybody, am I talking to anybody? I come to church, I read my Bible, I go home. I come to church, I come to Sabbath school, I read my Bible, I go home. There's no power, there's no zip, there's no zest, there's no challenge, there's no real growth, there's no transformation, there are no miracles, there's no supernatural activity, almost like we're not expecting God to move. Am I talking to anybody here tonight? Our walk with God becomes one-dimensional. This single plane of existence. When God is trying to get you to a place where he can truly interact with you, where you can hear his voice, where he can direct you, we can give you vision and dreams, we can tell you stuff that you can never come up with yourself, where he can blow your mind. Oh, God, I'm talking to somebody here today. Ooh, Jesus. Some of y'all are going to sleep through this, but some of y'all going to be blessed by this. I believe that in the name of Jesus. And so, now Jesus can say, now you are clean through the word which I've spoken to you. What's going to clean you up? The word is going to clean you up because the word of God is going to lift you up, wash you off. Come on now. And it's going to clip off some stuff, going to prune you. All of us need a little pruning. Come on, somebody. All of us need just a little pruning. It is, John, go back to John. Matter of fact, you can go over to John chapter 16. And, most of the times, most people won't connect John chapter 14, 15, and 16. But they are so connected together. You got to understand, John 13, go back to John 13. John 13 is really where it begins because Jesus is having this upper room discourse with his disciples. Are you with me, everybody? So the upper room, he's in the upper room. And then these are almost like the final words I'm giving you before I go to Calvary, before I'm crucified. I'm giving you some stuff that will help you, that will help you to deal with whatever comes your way. Now, John chapter 16, and we're going to tie this to John chapter 15. He says in verse 7, look at verse 7. John chapter 16, verse 7. Are you there with me, everybody? Are you there? Look at this. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go. Why? Read that, everybody. The Comforter. But if I depart, and watch this now, watch this. I want you to make this connection. I want you to make this connection with what we read in chapter 15. And when he is come, next verse, verse number 8, of righteousness, verse 8, give me verse 8. The world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin because they believe not. Verse 9, next verse. Because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because what, everybody? I have. But what, everybody? So you see the Holy Spirit that lifts and cleans and prunes is the same Holy Spirit that's convicting. So the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of Christ, is the work of both of these. Are you with me? The pruning, the cleaning, the convicting. The work of challenging people to believe what God says. See, all of this is a part of that same discourse. All right, and then verse 13, 16, 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto thee. So you see again the work of the Holy Spirit to convict, to convert, which is in a similar sense to clean, to prune, to purge, to wash, to bring about conversion. See, so you have both of these ideas flowing together in both of these passages. Okay, now, John chapter 15 itself is a significant study, and we're going to keep looking at it. And I always tell people, I reserve the right to preach on this, by the way, for divine worship on Sabbath. So just so you know, don't say, well, Pastor, you done talked about it at prayer meeting. No, I do reserve the right to preach on this more fully on Sabbath. So if you heard it here, you heard it first, but if you hear it again, then praise the Lord and let the church roll on. Can I get a witness, somebody? Come on, everybody. Let's stand on our feet and look to the Lord tonight. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the vine. Today, we declare we want to abide in you. And Lord, as we abide in you, we ask you to do whatever needs to be done. Father, you are the husbandman that cleans the dirt off through the power of the Holy Spirit. You are the husbandman that prunes through conviction through the power of the Holy Spirit. You desire not just that we bear some fruit, but you want us to bear more fruit. The first thing you say is you want us to bear, you want us to bear fruit, but then you want us to bear more fruit. So God, we pray that we'll not just be satisfied with a little fruit, because you're trying to get more. And then later on, your word declares that you want much fruit. So you want some fruit, then you want more fruit, but ultimately you want much fruit. So God, we pray that you'll bring us to a place of fruitfulness. Make our lives fruitful, God. May we be fruit bearers in every sense of the word. Fruit bearers reflecting the fruit of the Spirit, but also fruit bearers who duplicate themselves. Because the key to a vine bearing fruit is that the vine will bear fruit that's natural to its roots. It will duplicate itself. So God, we want to duplicate ourselves. Help us to be ambassadors of righteousness and truth, who let our light shine in such an irresistible way that men and women will see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Now take us from this place, but keep us always in your presence, in Jesus' name. Amen.